All right. Oasis. What a wonderful word, right? I don't know what kind of emotion that triggers in you when you think about an oasis. I've been in a desert one time. Don and I were traveling and we stopped in Dubai. It's hot. And I remember we're getting on a bus and we going around and you could see the sand dunes. And way in the distance, you can actually see palm trees. And I can remember looking, I'm like, that could be an oasis, right? That's the picture that I get. I see thirst. I see people running to this oasis and getting a big gulp of refreshing, cold water. Refreshing, satisfying, fulfilling. These are the key emotional words that would come to me when I think about an oasis. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. Come on. Amen. And we begin this new series, and we're going to be there for a while. When I say for a while, it's only going to be 4 weeks long, okay? So I need you to hang in there with me, okay? Because we're going to build on something. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to take us somewhere. And that place might be Dubai. Who knows? But it'll be an oasis. It will be a place of refreshing, just like this. An oasis is simply a spot in the middle of a dry desert. A spot that is fertile only because it's tapped into a source of water. That's the only reason why there's trees around this place right there, because there's water. Water means life. Water gives life to this oasis. Without this water, there is no oasis. So in 2018, God gave me a word. God gave me this word, a strange word. I remember when I got this word in 2018, I had no idea what it meant. And during this time, we were in the Ardinger's building. It was during a time where I felt we've reached a dry patch. Have you ever reached a dry patch in your life? You know, when you feel like, something is missing. Something is dry. Something is not fulfilled. I don't know what it is, but I can sense that. You've been there, right? Yeah. We've been there in a family setting. We've been there in our walk with God. We've been there. We've been in that place where we've discovered this desert and we're longing for a little bit of refreshing. A little bit of direction. A little bit of hope. A little bit of the Holy Spirit, the refreshing ability of the Holy Spirit. So in 2018, that word came to me. That word is, it's going to be up on the screen, Elim. Elim. That word came to me, and I had no idea what it meant. Now, 3 years later, that same word is coming back to my spirit. That same word is coming back to my spirit. Why? I've been asking God for the fire. I've been asking God to bring in this heat that we've been talking about in our I'm Planted series, You know, when you ask God for something, there's a big chance that you'll get it. And when you ask God to start a fire in you, there's a great chance that you'll get it. Now, what you do with it, that's something entirely different. But if you ask God for the fire, He will bring in the fire. So 3 years later, I'm asking God to bring in the fire. So we're going through a period of fasting and praying. That's the perfect setting to bring in the fire. That is the perfect place where you're actually in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying. Where your senses, your spirit, man, is sharpened so much to a point of a spear where it's piercing through everything that you have. Everything that can stand in God's way. And pushing them aside and opening you up for what God wants to do. Elim. That word Elim in the Bible is an oasis. It's the name of an oasis that the people of Israel discovered as they wandered through the desert. I believe that place still is there, even now. That Elim, still called Elim, it provided shade and refreshment for all who encountered it. Just like an oasis. In fact, the name Elim is very often used in lieu of an oasis in that Middle Eastern region. In the Hebrew dialect, that name is very often used as an oasis in the middle of the desert. The question that the Holy Spirit is asking me, and I believe we'll be asking you the same thing, is this. Are you an oasis? The first time I got this was like, Lord, I am so not an oasis. If anyone is an oasis, it's you. Right? To which the Holy Spirit responded. Isn't that amazing when you do have a conversation with the Holy Spirit? There is a two-way conversation that is going on. And the Holy Spirit said, am I not in you? Am I not in you? So if the Holy Spirit is asking you the same question this morning, are you not an oasis? You might answer the same way that I did. Lord, I am so far from being an oasis. I am so dry. I am so parched. I am so empty. How can I be an oasis? I believe the Holy Spirit will respond to you in that same way. Am I not in you? Am I not in you? I want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to think about this. It's not just an answer that you can just say, oh, yes. I want you to reflect on this thing. When was the last time you thought of yourself as an oasis? A place that you can provide shade for another person. or refreshment for another person. Did you know that even Jesus on the cross whispered those words, "I thirst. I thirst. I thirst." Jesus was looking for someone to be an oasis for him. Jesus on the cross, when he whispered those words, "I thirst," he was looking for someone to be an oasis for him. He was looking for someone to provide refreshment for him. Now I'm going to lay down the journey, the roadmap, if you will, for our Oasis series. I always love the first part of a series. It always takes me, Don will attest to that, all the way till the last minute. Last night, and I was like, I need more direction. I need more. I feel like I'm so not there with this series. I don't know. I don't know if this is the right thing. I don't know if I'm thinking about it the right way. The word came in 2018, but now we're seeing the manifestation of that word. It takes time for that word, that seed, when it's planted, to actually see it come out. Then you can see the evidence of something that what God meant, maybe even 3 years ago. But now all of a sudden you start seeing a roadmap. You start seeing this is the plan of God all along. I just did not know it because that seed was underground. But you would know this, right? You've been through the Amplanted series. You know that a seed underground is a seed that has a purpose to come out. Just like Jesus, after he whispered those words, "I thirst," he was placed underground. But that underground was not meant to keep him there, to lock him up forever. There was a purpose. There was a purpose. After a certain amount of time, the purpose was fulfilled and that seed germinated and came out. And now, here we are. Here we are. As a result of a seed being underground, even though that seed thirst, needing an oasis to bring refreshment, that seed came and remained alive. Just like you and me. When we are an oasis and we are tapping into another oasis, which is God Himself, we are alive. So yes, we are an oasis, within an oasis, because the oasis himself resides inside of you and me this morning. That's the perspective that we need to have when we think about this whole entire series. That's the perspective that I needed to have when I started preparing for this series. I needed to know that that oasis has to be alive starting with me, so that in turn, I can be an oasis to somebody else. So for the rest of the March, of the month of March, leading up to Good Friday. See, we're already making preparation for Easter and Good Friday. So there is going to lead all the way up to Good Friday. And Good Friday, we will have a service here at Oceans United. So I'm letting you know ahead of time so that you can make the proper preparation to be here on Good Friday. It's going to be important. It's going to be a crucial part of what God wants to do in your life. Amen? So leading up to Good Friday on April 2nd and then Easter on April the 4th. During those 4 weeks, each week, we will answer this question. What does it mean to be an oasis? It's not just something that we admire from a distance. It is not something that we think, oh, this is the Lord. But what does it mean to be an oasis as a believer? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a place where you can provide shade for someone else? What does it mean to be an oasis where you can provide refreshment for someone else? And we will use the word Elim as a vehicle to get there. So I want you to remember that word, E-L-I-M. We're going to use that as this vehicle to define the term oasis. Now we're ready for the word. Amen. So that's the roadmap. That's how we're going to get there. So open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to start reading with verse 1. Amen. All right. Ready? Let's read. He says, "Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth, break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with a husband, says the Lord." Wow. Wow, Pastor, what a grim opening after this grand introduction to Oasis, and now we step back into this grim opening of, oh, childless woman. Well, let me give you the background of this. It sounds very difficult when you read scripture like this, but if you leave out the background, you leave out the context, you might think, oh my Lord, what are we talking about here? In ancient Israel, a barren woman carried an enormous load of shame and disgrace. Theologically, this passage here is referring to the barren woman as the nation of Israel. Historically, this passage is referring to a time period about 600 some years before Christ, where King Nebuchadnezzar came in, destroyed the entire city, took people in captivity, and ran away with them and ran away with everything, burned everything down. So it is a period that meant shame, disgrace, and absolute humiliation. Now, this place is far, far, far from being this. Would you agree? When you get the picture right now of things burning, the temple is all in flames, people are being taken away from their families and be taken away to a different foreign land, I don't think you get this picture in your mind, do you? You're not thinking about an oasis at this point. But that is the place that God is seeing. God is seeing beyond the smokes. God is seeing beyond the shame, beyond the disgrace, beyond the humiliation. God is seeing what is meant to be with what is there in the natural. That's what God is seeing. Maybe that place might even describe you this morning, where you feel empty, where you feel desolate, you feel unfulfilled, you feel abandoned, you feel not enough. Not enough. But right in that spot where you are, God is calling you an oasis. God wanted, through prophet Isaiah this time, wanted to stir up the people to see beyond the pain, to see beyond the shame, to see the God's plan and purpose for their lives. God said, I'm not done with you, my children. I'm not done yet. I still got a plan. I still got a purpose. During that same time, when you read prophet Jeremiah came much later on, Jeremiah 29:11 came into the mix. When God said, I have a plan, I've got a purpose, I've seen your future, and I've declared your future good. See, at this moment, through prophet Isaiah, God is already setting into motion something that he saw in his own children way ahead of time. And he's speaking that into existence, calling them not barren, but fruitful. Out of that same passage is where you get the scripture, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They all line up together. Because God is at the same time, he's saying, I want you to go beyond what the enemy can actually do in your life. In your life right now, you might see that the enemy is cornering you from every side. But God wants you to know that no weapon formed against you will prosper, because I am an oasis inside of you. And because I'm an oasis inside of you, you can be an oasis to someone else. So that is what God is trying to inspire through that entire series. Not to look at yourself, but to look at someone else. If you look around you, you can see, who can I be an oasis to today? Who can I reach and bring refreshing water to today? That is the purpose of an oasis. It's not just to sit there and look pretty. I believe many Christians, we want to look pretty just like that. And just be called an oasis. But yet again, not fulfilling the real purpose of an oasis. Is to look out for those lost travelers. Those that have lost hope on their journey. Those that are looking at their journey and all they can see is shame, is the guilt, is the destruction, the humiliation of not being able to bear fruits. Barren. But yet again, God is seeing beyond that. And he's trying to get the people to see beyond. How can you get to see beyond if you don't do something about it? See? You can't just see in the distance a beautiful oasis and not make the first step towards that oasis. For all it mattered, it could be a mirage in the distance that doesn't really exist. But you don't know this until you make that first step towards that oasis. So God is calling the nation of Israel through chapter 54 right now in verse 1 to step out of what they can see and experience in the natural, and to step into this supernatural realm. And the very first instruction or command that God gives to his people is this: worship. Worship. That is the very first instruction that God gives to his children, is to worship. He says, break out into loud and joyful song. He calls them, O barren woman, but then he says, sing, O barren woman. Break out loud into a loud and joyful song. Same, O barren woman. God is not saying, oh, pretend the situation doesn't exist. No, he's looking at the situation and he's wanting us to step outside of the situation and see his mighty hand at work. He's saying, step into this new realm of worship. The very first command is to worship. Worship because nothing else matters. Worship like there is nothing else that you can see in the natural could affect what you do in the spirit realm. Just move with worship. Just proceed with worship. Just make the first step with worship. Basically, stop everything. Don't even look at your shame. Don't even look at your disgrace. Don't even look at your humiliation. If you would notice, the common subject here is you. You. Your shame. Your guilt. Your humiliation. Your disgrace. But when you worship, when you truly worship, the focus is not you. The focus is not you. The focus is not on your guilt. The focus is not on your shame. The focus is not on your past. Because worship has nothing to do with you. Worship takes your focus off of you and places that on Jesus himself. That's where you start looking at the oasis and you start seeing hope. You start seeing vision. You start seeing healing before the healing starts manifesting in your own body. Because you are seeing the hope that this oasis can provide. That is where we are as a body of believers. We're living in this eternal hope. That as we keep drawing near to this oasis, us, ourselves, would be transformed into this oasis. Because at the end of the day, the refiner's fire is trying to refine us as gold, as we sing. So that at the end of the day, when the master is looking, the refiner himself is looking, he wants to see himself reflected. So it's a constant process of change that we go through before we can call ourselves an oasis. The focus is him. And worship takes away the focus off of ourselves, our situation. And worship realigns everything back to him. Back to God. Here in Psalm 100, it says this. I was reading this to Micah the other day, and immediately he jumps and he's like, Psalm 100. That's right, that's worship. That's worship. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. That's all of us, right? That's you, that's me. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. That is something that we find hard to even acknowledge in this nation sometimes. Acknowledge that God is Lord. Acknowledge that he is him. He is the Lord. He is the master. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Worship allows you to come before him, the oasis. That's the way you approach that oasis. You worship. You worship. Worship leads the path to that oasis. Worship allows you to acknowledge him, the oasis. Worship allows you to be refreshed by him, the oasis. And now, because you are refreshed in Him, you can in turn refresh others. But you got to start with worship. That's your way in. That's your way in. The oasis in you. The oasis in you makes you an oasis to others. Let me repeat this because you need to catch this. The oasis in you, not you, the oasis in you makes you an oasis for others. It's all about Him in you first. That's how you can reach someone else. Because of God in you. God in you equips you to be salt and light. Because without Him in you, you are flavorless. Without Him in you, you carry no flavor. You need Him in you to be good. You cannot be good by yourself. You carry no flavor. You're pointless. But Him in you qualifies you to do what God has called you to do. And that is salt, and that is light, that is voice, that is hands, that is feet. Him in you allows you to do all of that. That's what God saw in the nation of Israel when God called Israel, "O barren woman." God even compared Israel, who has a husband. In that same verse it says, Israel, who has an husband, is childless compared to the others who have no husband. That's harsh. That's harsh. But God was trying to stir up His people to believe Him beyond their natural circumstances. And He challenged them to worship. That's the way God saw the nation of Israel 600 years before the birth of Christ. Friends, that's the way God sees you today. That's the way God sees you. When He sees you today, He sees you as that final product. He sees you as this oasis. And actually, that's what He calls you. He calls you this oasis. He calls you this masterpiece. He calls you this wonderful craftsmanship that He's created beforehand. Plans, purpose, that He's created beforehand that you should walk in it. He calls you that. But first, He forges you in Christ. He brings in a fire that will mold you, shape you in Christ so that you can become this masterpiece. You were never born a masterpiece. You are created in Christ as a masterpiece. You are forged by fire into this masterpiece. That's what God is seeing and calling the nation of Israel. He's calling this nation of Israel as a masterpiece while it's still barren. He says, worship. 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 Be an oasis so that you can refresh others. And speaking of refreshing, here's what the word says in Proverbs 11:25. He says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You know what the generous, what they are? Let me use you for a minute. Okay. The generous is someone, anybody who is tapped into the oasis of God. Someone who is saying, yes, Lord. I'm tapped into this oasis. I'm generous because I can tap into this oasis. And because he is tapped into this oasis, he prospers. What I mean by that, he prospers. God prospers him. God prospers him by pushing him forward. That's how God prospers you. He pushes you forward. As he pushes you forward, he enables you to fulfill the task that he's called you to do. And that is to be an oasis, because you've tapped into this oasis. Because the oasis lives inside of him. He walks because he's being led by God. He's being pushed by God. Because he's being refreshed by God, he can in turn refresh someone else. So as he's moving forward, being pushed by God, guess what? He's looking for opportunities to be a refreshing, an oasis to someone else. That is what your life would be like when you are tapped into the abundant life of God. You become this oasis. You start hearing the voice of God. You start tuning into his frequency. You start hearing him telling you to do stuff. Like this guy here, he came to Kodiak, leaving everything behind. He was pushed by God. Did he know it by then? Probably not. He had no idea what he was doing. But because he's tapped into the source of this oasis, he's being pushed by the Holy Spirit to go and do something that he's never done before. Like leaving everything behind and come to this place called Kodiak, like many of you here this morning. Just like me. But because you're tapped into this oasis, you've become an oasis yourself. And then you can be pushed by him to do what he's called you to do. That's why you're here. That's why you're blessed.
This oasis brings the heat.
That's right. Without the heat, you cannot have the oasis. Thank you. Did not give him any warning, so it threw him off a little bit. That is you. That is you. When you've said yes to God, you said yes to the oasis to be in you. And because he's in you, you can be an oasis to someone else. The whole concept about an oasis is not for the oasis itself. The whole concept of an oasis is not about the oasis. It's about others. It's always been about others. Because life is there. But what good is life there if it cannot feed someone else? What good is there if there's life there and no birds can come and rest on those trees? What good is there if there's life there, but there's no fish in that water? What good? What good would it be if an oasis is there just for that oasis? What good is it to be a Christian if all I do is to come and occupy a seat every Sunday, and then I check a little box and said, I've been here? What good? An oasis is doing this. Always on the lookout. I'm looking out for a lost traveler. I'm looking out for someone who is so thirsty, who is about to die. And I'm going to bring in a refreshment for that person. I'm going to provide shade for that person. That's an oasis. He's looking out. He's looking out for an opportunity to be salt. An opportunity to be light. An opportunity to be a hand, a feet. That's an oasis. Because an oasis is not about the oasis. An oasis is there for others. That's why we have Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. It starts off with, now that you've worshiped, I want you to do something about it. It starts off with, worship, sing out loud, O you barren woman. But then now it says, here's the command now to do something. Because if all we do is just worship and we don't step into action, it's like faith without works. It's dead. Say, if all we do, we come and we worship the Lord today, which is amazing because that's how we enter into His presence. That's how it qualifies us to even begin to be this oasis. But we must do something about it. So we step into this verse in Isaiah 54 verse 2. He says, enlarge your house. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle their ruined cities. Remember, God is still speaking to the nation of Israel who is seeing being destroyed by the enemy. It was in the beginning stages of this exile, this overtaking of the enemy that came in, the beginning of the destruction phases under the Babylonian regime. But yet again, God is saying, I want you to build. I want you to add on. I want you to spread out. No children. No legacy. So if you say in the natural, if there is no children, no legacy, why should we add on? Right? Why should we add on? Why should we not spare any expenses? Because remember, the oasis is not about the oasis itself. God at that moment was seeing when King Darius was releasing everybody to come home. We're talking about 70 some years later. God was way ahead of the children of Israel, right? Aren't you happy that God is way ahead of you? Aren't you happy that God is way ahead of you in your situation that you're feeling perhaps very dry, perhaps lacking any direction? But God is already asking you to do something that challenges your thinking, even now. When God gave me that word Elim 3 years ago, guess what? There was no Oceans United. That did not even exist. But God saw today. 3 years ago. So what is God seeing in your life today? What about that word that He gave to you 10 years ago? You might have forgotten about it. Do you think He has? Do you think He's forgotten once His promise to you? Think about that for a moment. Because He is talking to His own children, the children of Israel, that He's actually seeing for a fact that they are being destroyed. But He's speaking into their life right now. And He's speaking something into existence that's going to come 70 years later. He's saying, enlarge. Enlarge. Add on to your house. Spread out your cords. God is seeing the oasis for the next generation. For the next generation. When God is calling somebody an oasis, He's seeing a legacy behind it. He's seeing a next generation that will come behind. He's seeing others. Because somebody has said, yes, Lord. Just because somebody has said, yes, Lord. My landing spot this morning is this. Remember the word Elim? The first letter of that word is E. Right? E. E stands for enlarge. 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 Enlarge your thinking. Enlarge your capacity to receive the promise of God. I know it's been 10 years. I know it's been a long time. Maybe over the years you've shrunk your capacity. You stop believing. You stop believing maybe God picked the wrong person. Maybe God picked the wrong guy. It's not me. It's somebody else. God is saying here, enlarge your thinking. Enlarge your capacity for me to pour into you. Because I've called you an oasis while you were still a mess. While you still had no clue what was going on, I called you an oasis. Enlarge. Enlarge puts worship into action. Enlarge takes you from your knees and launches you to a sprint. Enlarge is God saying, you've been on your knees for way too long. It's now time to spring into action. To spring into action. Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. If today you are not in an oasis, you cannot be one. Because it starts with Him. It starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. Quickly, I'm going to give you two things. And then we're going to get ready to take the communion. To enlarge, we must make room for the new. We must make room for the new. In the same book, the book of Isaiah. See, God was stirring up His people for the prophet Isaiah. The book that is probably the most quoted book in the New Testament. Most of which by Jesus Himself. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? God is saying, are you not expecting it? Are you not expecting that I'm about to do a brand new thing? Were you expecting anything less? Were you expecting anything less? And number two is, your faith must be stretched. Your faith must be stretched. 1 Peter 1:7 says this, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. God is looking for genuine faith. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Just like that song. Just like this song. It comes out of 1 Peter 1:7. If you feel like you've been tested, that's because you've invited the fire in. I want you to have this as your prayer as we get ready to take communion. Invite the fire of God in your life. and watch him revive those old promises. Those words that maybe you put on the shelf. Said, you know what? It's not going to happen. As you get ready to take the communion this morning, I want you to bring it back to Father God. Because I'm guaranteeing you, he did not forget. Maybe you have. And I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit himself will bring it back to your remembrance. Just in case you forgot. He can do it. He can do it. You know, in 2018, I completely forgot about that word. It was not even on my radar. Until March the 1st. That's exactly the date when I started my fast. God brought it back. Because I drew near the fire. You know, I said, Lord, do it in me. Do it in me. Like Don shared, on Friday evening, I was able to visit Alice in the hospital. She had a smile on her face. Her mind was alert. Her spirit was strong. As I walked into the room, her eyes just sparkle with life. I held her hand and talked to her for a little bit. All I could see was just smile. Just beautiful smile. I told her about our church, what we've been talking about, our messages, and everything. I told her I'm starting this series called Elim. And she looked at me like, tell me more. Tell me more. See, that hunger for God never went away. She's still full of fire. She couldn't say much. And as I was getting ready to leave, after we prayed, I said, Alice, you are an oasis. You are an oasis. Elim. Because you've refreshed me. I left the hospital refreshed. Refreshed. Because she, in her situation, in her state, while she's laying there on a bed, was still being this oasis. She refreshed me. I left the hospital. Wow. It's like I've been dry for a while, and I walked into this oasis. And I took a big gulp of this refreshing cold water. See, it doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter even if you have a medical situation. You can still be an oasis to somebody else. Would you please stand? I believe the oasis himself is in this room. The oasis himself is in this room. In Luke chapter 22, on the day that he was betrayed, Jesus, he gathered his disciples and he told them about the day was going to come. Where he's going to be put on the cross. That day he saw the day when he would scream those words, "I thirst." He saw that day. None of the disciples saw that, but he was preparing them for that day when he would say, "I thirst." And he was actually challenging them at that night. Would you be an oasis for me? Would you be an oasis for me? So this morning, even before you take communion, I'm going to ask you this question. And I want you to do some soul searching. If the oasis is in you, you know. Because you spring out just like Alice. Life. Life comes out. Because you're an oasis. The oasis himself is in you. If you've never said yes to Jesus, now would be the time. Now would be the time to say, "Yes, I need this. I need this. Lord, I cannot do it without you." It takes just a simple heart opening to God. "Lord, I invite you into my life. I invite you in my life. Come and take rule and reign inside of me. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me because I've messed things up. I've done things in my own ways. Forgive me. Show me how to do it right, starting today." That's all it takes. That's all it takes. You've invited him in and you've asked him to forgive you. And you've asked him to be Lord and King of your life. On that night, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you take and eat? And then likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Would you take and drink?" We began by asking this question. Am I an oasis? Am I an oasis? I'm going to open up the altar right now for you to come and pray. set a little time aside. If you need somebody to pray for you, even if you want to pray on your own, it doesn't matter. As long as you do it, as long as you pray, as long as you put God first, whatever situation that you might be dealing with, some things are private just between you and God. No one else needs to know. No one else needs to know. It's between you and God. You and God. Even if you don't leave your seat right now, I want you to open up to God. I want you to release whatever burden that you've been carrying. I want you to release that. Because you're not meant to carry it. You're not meant to carry it. You've been dragging this past, this burden, this misery behind you for way too long. Jesus is saying right here, right now, to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Make a decision today. Make a decision today to be free. To be free. To be free. Because He has set you free. You're not meant to carry anything. Nothing. Nothing. I'm going to pray, and those of you who feel like you want to be dismissed, you will be dismissed at that point. But if you want to stay and hang out here for a little bit and have a little moment just to pray, perfectly fine. But don't leave this place with the same burden that you walked in. Amen. Father God, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor in this place. Lord, we are an oasis because you live inside of us. Lord, help us throughout this week to be an oasis for someone else. Help us to look beyond ourselves, Lord, to reach out to someone in distress that needs life, that needs hope. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. You are blessed and you are dismissed. Amen.